chapter 1. It starts out with a description of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is since he's been raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and glorified. You have red letters in your Bible. You have the words actually of Christ in red letters, and they're in the Gospels many times, but you see them back here in Revelation chapter 1 because he's speaking directly to the Apostle John here. He did that in Acts chapter 9, about AD 35, to Saul of Tarsus, and he brought him to a halt and threw him from his horse and saved him in about AD 35. But now, about 61 years later, this same ascended, risen Lord Jesus Christ speaks for the last time in the book of Revelation, in this book, which is the last book of the Bible, from heaven, his inspired words of Scripture. So it's very important we understand this. And John wrote in verse 16 of this chapter these words. He said, "And he had," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Well, then Jesus spoke to the Apostle John himself, and he explained the mystery of the seven stars. And there were seven golden candlesticks in chapter 1, verse 20. In fact, let's read that verse 20. Our Lord says to John, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." And then he explained the mystery. He said, "The seven stars are the angels, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Revelation 1, 20. So, what about this mystery? What is a mystery? He said the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. Well, a mystery is a secret. God has secrets. Only he knows them. But he chooses to reveal them to his servants. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And you say, well, how does God reveal them? Well, it's through special revelation. You see, general revelation is the nature around us. God made everything. And people can see that and know that a God that's all-powerful made this intricate, amazing universe. But people reject that, don't they? They reject God's revelation. But special revelation, you can't get by feeling it and touching it and seeing it. Special revelation is God must speak it forth to you through his prophets and his apostles. And that's exactly what he does here in Scripture. And he explains to John, 61 years after he talked to Paul in about AD 35, he explains to him the mystery, which means a secret of God that now God, Jesus, is going to explain or reveal. And I want to explain it to you today. He says, the seven golden candlesticks are individual local churches that existed in John's day. They've existed as different types of local churches throughout history. And he says that these churches are very important to him. And then he says there are seven stars. We think of stars, we think of Hollywood. But the stars are messengers to the churches. The word is angelos, angel, but it means messenger, and it means the one who carries the message of Jesus Christ to the church. Well, who does that? It's the head pastor of each church. When these messages in Revelation were read, the pastor read them to the church. And so the Lord says in Revelation 1, in his right hand are these seven stars, or these preachers, or these pastors that have his message for the church. And so that's what he talks about here. And my message for you this morning, based on what I've just read, is that if the stars are the messengers or the pastors of the churches who have the message of Jesus Christ for you in the church, it's very important that you hear your pastor's messages in church. It's very important for you that you hear your pastor's messages in church. You know, Paul said, I magnify my office. I'm going to magnify my office today. I'm going to say to you that what God has called me to do, according to Revelation chapter 1 and the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, is exceedingly important for your life. Do you realize that? Do you realize how important it is that you have ears to hear, that you're here to hear, and that you're benefiting? And this is the message, because you need to hear the pastor's messages. Firstly, because Christ is in the midst of this church. Here are seven literal local churches. The Apostle John knew these churches. He went into these churches. He spoke in these churches. He served as the pastor of the church at Ephesus before he was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos. And he was told that these churches are prophetic of seven types of churches that will exist from John's day up until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that the Lord has a message for each type of church. And in fact, for each individual in that church. Because the Lord says that. I remember some years ago, I was in college, a young man. And Charles Ware was my friend in college. And we had other friends. And I remember there was a student, a younger student than us, that became pastor of a church in, I believe it was Lansing, New York, if I'm not mistaken. It was in upstate New York. And he wanted to have a conference in his church on the importance of the local church, because he felt that the local church was under attack in his day. And this was no doubt in the 70s, you know, the early 1970s. He felt it was under attack. And his name was Mark Graham. I remember him very well. Good man. He had Charlie Ware up there, me up there, and another student up there. And we were the speakers at this conference that he wanted. He wanted us to be the speakers. And so he sent us a message before we got up there. He talked about a famous evangelist who rose to great fame in the middle of the 20th century and served throughout the second part of this 20th century. It had great impact and notoriety. And this evangelist made a statement that shook people up and shook him up. He said, this evangelist said, you know, by the way, he was speaking of the mid 1900s, which would be the 20th century. If we look at our churches, that would be the time when the Laodicean type church was rising in ascendancy and in numbers. And this evangelist said this. He said, I believe that God is doing an end run around the local church. Now, for you ladies that may not know what end run is, in football, I was a runner in football. A lot of times they would say fullback at 2 when I was a fullback, or halfback at 6. And you'd get the ball and you break through the hole. The tackle was at 2, 6 might be a guard. And the end was way out there. And many times if the line was clogged up, you just try to do an end run around it all and outrun the guys and just run. And God had given me blazing speed, and I used to like to do that. I'd do an end run. Catch me if you can. And this is what the evangelist was saying. He was saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing an end run around the local church. It's all messed up. So he's doing an end run around the local church. And the preacher wanted to challenge us, the speakers, with that, to kind of give us some red meat, you know, to get us going to preach against that view. Well, I want to say this morning, I believe the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book in the Bible, is a prophecy about the end times, is a prophecy about right up until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where do you see the Lord Jesus Christ in this book of Revelation? Well, if you look at it, you see the Lord Jesus Christ, and where is he located? Well, look at verse 13 of chapter 1. In these end times, here's what it says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ today? He's in the middle of this church. Brother Joe Slobodnik has said that the gathering together of the local church is the nearest thing to heaven this side of heaven. And he's absolutely right. We had a guy that used to come to our church, Ralph Tolley, who's now passed into heaven. He used to say he knew just where Jesus in spirit was sitting in this church. He's here. You say, how do you know? He's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He's looking at the church. He's watching over the church. He knows who's here. He knows what you're doing. He knows if you're listening. He knows everything about you. And listen to me. He has a message for you when you come to church. Jesus has a message from his inspired word. And so it's very important that you understand that you need to be here in church to hear your pastor's messages, because Christ, first of all, is right in the midst of his church. And I believe that he's not doing an end run around the local church. No way, Jose. No way, Matthew. No way, anyway. We always say no way, Jose, but no way to any of you. He is right in the midst of this church. So you know what that tells me? I ought to be here too. If he's here, should I be here? Oh yeah, I should be here. If he's here, should you be here? Amen. Yes, you should be here. Right, Kyle? Amen. You should be here. Because he's here. And he says the pastor is an under-shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. When the rapture happens, the whole church is going to be one universal called out assembly, one universal church. Right now, the Bible is very clear. The church is to be a local assembly. You're to be a local assembly with pastors and deacons and with two ordinances, the Lord's Supper and baptism. And you're supposed to be part of a church. Amen. You'll be in the universal church at the rapture, but right now, and your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, amen? But right now, your name needs to be, listen to me, your name needs to be down on a church roll. That's God's plan for your life. You see, the Laodicean type church is a wishy-washy, squishy-wooshy. There's no commitment. It reminds me of people today. They live together, but they don't have a covenant of marriage. Well, if you don't have a covenant of marriage, you don't have a commitment. And you're living a wishy-washy, squishy life. It's immoral. It's fornication. God's against it. And he's against people that don't get saved by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Because if you don't put faith in Jesus Christ, you're not married to him. You're not married to him. You're not going to live with him. He won't shack up with anybody. You won't be in heaven. You'll have to be in hell. And so you need to accept the Lord. That's his message this morning. I'm knocking at the door. He's on the outside looking in of a Laodicean type church. And he's still knocking at the door, though. And he's saying, if you hear my voice, Jesus is saying, you open the door, I'll come in. I'll cleanse you from your sin. And I'll come into your life. And then you need to take a stand. If you're saved, you need to come forward and get baptized. That's the first thing he wants you to do. You say, what's baptism? A little dab? No, it's dunking under the water. We had a lawyer come here one time. He said, man, you just dunk them under the water. I said, that's right. When you get saved, you're just immersed into Jesus Christ and into his word. And that's a picture of that. And you have a new life when you come out of that water. Pictures, you have a new eternal life. And God wants you to do that. It's a decisive time. But we're living in an age with no commitment. No commitment! And God doesn't want that. He wants decisiveness. And he has, coming out of his mouth, what is it? It's a sharp, what? Two-edged sword. It will convict you and it will cure you of your ailments. But Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, calls you to put your faith in him and be born again and then get baptized. And listen to me, join a local church. And why? Because he said that he is in the midst of the churches. And he wants you, listen to me, to be fully functioning in the local church. I don't believe what that famous evangelist said. I don't believe it. I think it was popular in Laodicean Christianity, but it's not popular with God. In fact, in Hebrews 10:25, The Lord is talking about the end times. By the way, how many of you, as you look at the news, as you hear the reports of what's going on, and the troubling news that you hear, and the wars and rumors of wars and so forth, how many of you can see the second coming of Jesus Christ is getting very much closer? Raise your hand. That's exactly right. It is. You can see the day of his coming. It is approaching. I don't know the day or the hour, but I do know we're closer than ever before. And if at any time you need to be in church, if at any, you know, when people go to church after 9/11, after some quote-unquote crisis, they show up in church for a while, and then they just basically go away, and that's it, you know. But listen, or how about Christmas, or, you know, kid's going to be in a Christmas play, or in a cantata, or something, I'll come. But how about Christmas and Easter? Come at Easter. Listen, Jesus is here every time these doors are open. Every time this church gathers together, and we are to realize every day that we're getting closer to the coming of Christ, and the great events of the book of Revelation are ready to break forth upon us, and we need to be watching and waiting and working for that. But I want to say to you this morning, it says in Hebrews 10 and verse number 25, listen to this, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Does it say more or less local church as we see the day of Christ coming, approaching? The answer is what? More. More. And so it should be more. And more about Jesus, what I learned. More of his saving grace and all of the rest of it. More about Jesus. More of his word. Not more of what's going on in the square glare or the boob tube or the computer screen or more of what's going on in the Facebook. People don't have their face in the book and in the church and doing God. Listen, more about Jesus! And the local New Testament church is God's chosen instrument to get his work done on earth. That's why Jesus has the stars who are his stars, who have his message for his church in his right hand, because that's their responsibility. And they'll give an account to him. I'll give account to him for what is preached and what is taught in this church. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Amen and amen. So you need to hear your pastor's messages in church. Number one, because Christ is in the midst of his church. But secondly, I want to say this. You need to hear because Christ has his pastor in his own right hand. Not only is Christ in the midst of the church, but Christ, who's now alive and raised and ascended, he has the pastor in his own right hand. Here's how Jesus puts it. He said, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels. The word angel, angelos, means messenger. That means the one entrusted with the message. By the way, the main thing of the local church is not cantata in the middle here. The main thing in the local church is not some kind of mass Eucharist here in the middle. The main thing of the local church is not some kind of play here. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But the main thing in the middle of the local church, and this is why you came to a Baptist church, you see, it's a pulpit. We call it the sacred desk. And the preacher beats on the pulpit, you know. Somebody spoken of a bully pulpit. But this is what the Lord wants in his church. He wants the word of God to be the main thing. And he has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to get his work done in the local New Testament church. And so he says, I have my angels, my messengers with my message in my right hand to give that message. And these are the stars that he has in his right hand in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. Now, at the end of each of his individual messages for each church that each man of God, each pastor was to preach, he's got a message to kind of end the message. And I wonder if you know what he says at the end of each sermon, so to speak, that the messenger, the pastor, is to deliver. Well, at the end of each message, it says this, and you'll read it in the seven churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You see, you can't have an ear if you're asleep in church. I said you can't have an ear if you're asleep in church. Amen. You see, some people are asleep in church because they have been giving their time to other things, and so they're not ready for the main thing. This is the main thing. You say, no, the main thing is that I have something to say. No, no, you have how many mouths and how many ears? Two ears and one mouth. That means you're supposed to hear more than you're supposed to blab. Now, some people are more shy, but some people, they want to talk a lot. But God has given us two ears first. Before you talk, he says you need to hear. But not just with your physical ears. You need to have your ears touched by the Holy Spirit of God. Because he gives you your ears. You know, Jesus unstopped deaf ears. He opened blind eyes, but he unstopped deaf ears too. And that shows us that Jesus can make you to be able to hear. I used to go to church and I couldn't really hear the pastor. All I could just see is this guy up there, bah, 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 bah. It was so boring to me. When's it over? I want to eat lunch. I'm telling you the truth. That's the way I used to be. I would be there because my mother made me go. Now I make her go. My mother used to make me go. And I was there. I was there in church. But I didn't have ears to hear until, you know, one day I was reading the Bible, hoping I would go to heaven. I was going through some things in my life, and I was staying at my grandmother's house. And you know the story. I realized that I'm not going to heaven. I'm going to hell because of my sin. Jesus was showing me from the Bible, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. And then he got my attention. And I thought, well, what's it going to profit? Like Jesus said, if I get everything in this world, make money and everything, and then I die and go to hell, and I'm burning in fire, what's that going to profit me? And I looked for a way to be saved. And then my grandmother told me that when Jesus died, he opened the curtain to be able to get into the presence of God by his death. And somehow I realized at that moment that Jesus' death gave me a relationship with God, and I looked to him as my Savior, and I was born again. Now I had ears to hear. Now I wanted to hear. I went to church to hear. I understood the messages more and more. I went to Christian bookstore to get books to read about the Bible and study and read the Bible. And I began to understand. I have a desire for those things. He opened my ears. Have you had your ears open? Or are you like I was, deaf before I got saved? And you need to hear so that you don't miss out upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has for you when you come to church. And so I'm just saying to you that the Lord is saying that you need to hear your pastor's messages first, because Jesus Christ is right here in the midst of the church right today. And he will continue to be until he comes back. And secondly, because Christ has his pastor for you in his own right hand. And he is speaking to you and gives you that message, he that has ears to hear. I remember when I was here in this church under a pastor called Charles Ware. And Charles Ware would preach from this very pulpit. And I was, well, I guess not when I was here was he preaching from this particular pulpit. One like it. And he would preach the word of God. And I was out there where you are. And do you know what I found out? That my life keyed around the preaching of the word of God. He was my age. We were best friends in college. But when he preached, God would speak a message to my heart and my life keyed around those messages of the man of God. And so my life is really explained in terms of preaching of the Word of God and making decisions in my life. I'll be going for a few days to Oklahoma to a man who's going to be the messenger of that church. And he has some other stars who are pastors of churches, independent, fundamental Baptist. And I like to be there, and I like to have my face ripped off sometime. And I like to hear preaching. And I like to go to the altar. Because you see, that is what explains my own life. And it did back then, before I became the head pastor of a church. I was getting benefit. And when he preached on Sunday morning, I was there. In fact, I was there in Sunday school. Amen. I didn't miss Sunday. Because when does everything start around here? 9:45. Thank you. He's as good as Frank LaPaglia, I tell you.
He doesn't need a microphone.
He doesn't need a mic, that's right. So I was there in Sunday school. I was there Sunday morning. I was there Sunday evening. On Wednesday night, I was there. I didn't miss. And you know what? The devil doesn't want you there. He wants you to think something's more important. What's more important than what Jesus Christ has to say to you? Let me say that again. What's more important than the special message that Jesus Christ has for you? There's nothing more important. I didn't believe that anyway. And I keyed my life around that, and it led me to who I married. It led me to my life's work. It led me to everything in my life. The Word of God, through the man of God, as the Lord Jesus was speaking from that pulpit. I remember Pastor Ware, he had an attack on his faith. Some great men moved into the seminary up there and the Holy Hill up there. And these were great men that knew the Bible. I mean, they were geniuses in the Bible. Great scholars. And all the seminary students were so excited about what they had to say. And we were students at that time and in college, later in that seminary. And Pastor Ware said, you know what, I just feel sometime that who am I? They should just go hear these great men. And he said, then I realized that I'm in the right hand of the Lord Jesus. He has a message for this church through me that only is to be delivered by me, not those men. It's by me because the Lord chose to do this. I'm an angel of the church. I am the angel for this church. And he was. And he was right. And he said, when I got a hold of that, my faith concerning my spiritual gift, the pastor teacher, had been under attack. But when I got a hold of that, he said, that strengthened my faith. And God began to use me. And I like what Brother Eric Zukowski, our youth pastor, said. He said that he loves independent, fundamental Baptist stars and preachers. And like me, he's gone to conferences and made decisions under these great men of God. But then he added this. He said, but nobody is more used in my life than the man of God for Scranton Revival Baptist Church who is standing behind this sacred desk. And I'm quoting him. He's down in Wonder Church right now preaching, no doubt. But that's what he said. And that's what I could say of Dr. Ware. That's what you ought to be able to say as a member of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, or wherever God has you, you ought to be there. Take the Lord's table there. Participate in helping get people baptized there. To be there under the Word of God and carry out the ministry of the Word of God. But Paul, he told each pastor as he was going back to Jerusalem, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood, Acts 20:28. So the Lord is saying to each one of you here that you need to find an overseer which the Holy Ghost is using to feed you the messages of the Lord Jesus from the Word of God, week in and week out. Have you done that? Do you know who the Holy Ghost has made an overseer over your life to feed you? Do you know that? And then you need to get in and be there and faithfully serve there. And get in or get out, get out or get off. The Bible also says, he that has an ear, as we said, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, you know what? Some people have a problem with that. The Bible speaks to any of you that have this problem when it says, listen to this, it says, for the time will come when after their lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You ever notice that? Some people, they just keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. They say, scratch my itch right here. Make me feel good right here. I need these preachers, and I have itching ears. And so they go here, and they go there, and they listen to this, or they get on the internet, and they get on here, and they go there, or they get on Facebook, they listen to this person say this, and that person says that, and this person has one translation of the Bible, this person has another translation of the Bible, and I listen to this and that. By the way, if they don't speak from the King James, old King James Bible, I don't give much of an ear. Because God speaks through his inspired, preserved words. And he speaks through the man of God mainly for your life. And so that's where you need to focus in on and not be running hither and yon all over the place and missing out on your own church and where you ought to be. 2 Timothy 4:3 talks about that. And then notice that it says they heap to themselves teachers. Now what does that mean? That means it's selfishness. The Bible says in the last days, men shall be what? Lovers of themselves. In other words, I am going to get on the internet, hear this teacher tell me this, this teacher tell me that. I don't have any pastor over my life. I don't have any accountability over my life. I'm not a member of any church. I'm not committed to any ministry. I just go around and I just heap to myself teachers because it's selfishness. But listen to me, Sarge, you said it. It's team, T-E-A-M. You know what that stands for, right, Sarge? Together, each accomplishes more. Sarge got that when he was helping the strength coach at the University of Oklahoma, the Sooners. But it fits for the church this morning. We're a team. Together, each accomplishes more. And God will bless you if you get a hold of that, that he has a man of God, and his part on the team is to deliver the message of God every week in the local church on time and right on target to what you need, and not to get distracted from that and to let it work in your life and base your life around. You say, well, no man is perfect and no sermon is perfect. You're right, but take what's good and put it into practice. And don't be like some people. You know what some people do? They get on their cell phones, which is easy to do. Mine is off right now. I hope yours is off. And they get on their cell phone and they'll text a message. Pastor, this is what you ought to preach. And this is what you ought not to preach. You say, does that happen to you? Oh, yes, there's always. That's happened to me for 45 years. I don't listen to it. This is my pulpit. And platform. And if I want to put my leg up on my pulpit and beat it, I'll do it. I'll do it. Why? Because I give account to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am too busy. I got people, they shoot me text early in the morning. Ding, ding, ding. This is what you ought not to be preaching. This is what you ought to be preaching. No, my friend, I am in the Word of God right here. I am waiting at the foot footstool of Jesus Christ to find out what to preach. I don't need a third party intervening in that. And so I just click that thing off. I just don't go back to that. The first thing in the morning I want to do is get up and get with him and get in his word. And then I spend hours throughout the week in the word of God, writing and studying and meditating and praying so that Then even with all of that, Lord, what do they need right now? And Holy Spirit of God, because it says, he that has an ear, what? Let him hear with the Spirit. You know, Jesus went back to heaven, but he sent one down just like himself. It's the Holy Spirit. And he uses the inspired, preserved Word of God, the King James Bible, and he gives the messages that you need. But listen, you need to be here. You need to be awake. You need to have your ears open by the Holy Spirit and prepared to hear and to take from it what God wants from your life, and organize your life around the local church and who's in the middle of the church. Organize your life around the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's in the middle of the pulpit? Right here is the messenger, the angel of the church, delivering the message. You need to do that more and more. I'm saying that, in conclusion, the message is, you need to hear your pastor's messages in church. What's been keeping you from it? What's been distracting you from it? That's your enemy. That's Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. What's been keeping you from that? You need to hear your pastor's messages in church, because Jesus Christ is right here in the midst of the church, so you should be here with him. And secondly, because Christ has a message for you through his pastor. And he wants you to know that you can be saved by faith in him and his blood, that you can be sanctified by his word and his Holy Spirit, that you can serve him as part of his team. But you need to get saved, then get baptized, join the team, and participate fully. May God help you to do that and not to be sidetracked like so many are today. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about that.